Today's Mishnah in Masechet Zavim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beit. Megifin. So before we begin, let's just remember that the past two Mishnayos have essentially laid out for us this new idea of the Tumas Midras of Azov. And let's just remember that briefly, that normally Tumas Masa means that someone who is tar picks up something that is tame, and that tame thing will now be betame him because he picked it up. But there's a mirror image to Tumas Masa, which is called the Tuma of the, this is not the Midras. This is the fact that it's a special new type of Tuma in which the fact that the thing that was tame was carrying the thing that was tahar, which is called tumat heset. So it's a mirror image of the tar person carrying the tame. Here the tame person carries the item which is tar, either the person or the gadim or kelim. Now in this case, of course, we do not have the chumras of tumas midras, because tumas midras, A, is only going to apply to something that is meant for sitting on, and therefore, it will become tamei b'midras, but a person is not meant for sitting on, so he's not going to be tamei midras. And furthermore, it has to be through actual sitting or standing or leaning and so on. There were five ways, remember, that you could communicate this tumas midras if the item is something that is suitable for midras. It's a couch, a chair, a pagodim, and so on. So what we're talking about over here is this new tuma of heset, which is metame as if it was maga. Tumas Midras, on the other hand, is metame in a much more chomer way. In a sense, it's the most chomer tuma, because nothing will save you, no matter how many mattresses you put between the princess and the pea, and even if the pea is a kli, that's easier to be metame a pea. That's why the story is really only there to indicate the Elyono Shel Zav, which is only metame Eichlin Umashkin. Therefore, the story is really, I mean, because it's for kids, remember. But, I mean, the real story is that if that pea was a golden pea on a jewelry piece, it would also be tame, even though kalim are only mekabel tuma from an avatuma. So that would mean that midras can go through 100 mattresses to be metame something as an avatuma, and then what's crazy is that thing itself will be metame adam, to be metami the begadim sha'olav. So, whoa, it is super direct connection to tuma in a way that nothing else is. And of course, it only applies in the very specific circumstances called zov v'chaveiro, which includes the old letter and anybody that's going to be metami mishkev u'moshe. So then we saw in yesterday's Mishnah, we saw that the idea is a lot more subtle than a gross picking up of the zav, because even if you're stepping on a board, and the board is loose, and therefore, if the zav is going to step on one side of the board and lift up the other person, or the other person steps on one side of the board and lifts up the zav, in either of these cases, you're going to have a problem of a tuma in which, even if we'd be talking about cases of midras, if it was a couch that you put on the other side of a seesaw, then it would be actually the same as if we said if he's nitle, if he's hanging by the couch. It doesn't mean he has been in contact with the couch. He's hanging off of the couch because the couch is holding him in the air on the other side of the seesaw. So that means if you're moving something that is movable, you're on a rowboat we were talking about yesterday, or you've got a loose door that is hanging over an entranceway into the basement. I had that as a kid, so that's to me like definitely a real case, you know. Anyway, so today we talk about other cases in which people will actually act on someone else, or according to the Tanakhama, remember we had this machlokas about whether we always assume that it was acting or whether we depend on the case. We ask the people what happened. But according to the Tanakhama, we've got the lists of the boats that we talked about yesterday. Today, we're talking about even in a case, let's say, you had people that were closing a door. They were working together, or they were opening a door. So then that would make the tohar, even his clothes, would become tameh midras. Because, I mean, what's the what's the chance that they both push with exactly the same force? So somebody was pulling the other guy for a moment, or someone was pushing against the other guy for a moment. It's got to be that way, right? I mean, it's very difficult to coordinate the forces exactly. So therefore, if the Zov is pushing the person who's Tahar, so then essentially he's leaning on him. If he's pulling away from him, then he's essentially being actually Nitla Alav. He's hanging off of him. So either way, you're going to be Matami, the other guy. And of course, the guy is not really Tomei Midras, because people aren't meant for standing on, but we're assuming that this guy is not naked when he's doing this. He's wearing something. So what he's wearing is going to add to the weight against the Zav, or the weight that's being pushed by the Zav. So therefore, it's going to become Midras, and it is Matami Adam anyway, right? So therefore, for sure, one ends up either pulling or pushing, and therefore they're going to be tummy. The Chachamim Maimrin, the only time that we're choshesh for that is where they're fighting each other. One of them is trying to hold the door closed, and the other one is trying to open the door. There, for sure, you're going to have that kind of problem. But where they're both pushing or they're both pulling, then we could say, look, I mean, essentially what we see is that everything's going in the same direction. We can't really measure a moment in which the forces are aligned against each other. Now, let's say one of them is inside of a bore, you know, and he's stuck, and the other guy's pulling the other person up. It doesn't matter whether the Zav is pulling the person who's Tahar or the Tahar person is pulling on the Zav. His begunim are going to be Tomei Midras. Because, I mean, if the guy that's Tahar is pulling the Zav, so then the Zav is actually hanging from his. So he's a Nitla. We had that days before. And again, since his clothes add to the weight, so then it's actually the same issue, because the person weighs his own weight, but also the weight of his clothes. And then that means when he pulls up, so then he is leaning with the weight of his clothes against the weight of the Zav, and therefore the Zav is hanging from his clothes in terms of the seesaw effect. Where's Rabbi Yehuda on there? Again, look, Achye atahar ma'alea tatameh. The only way that we're going to really have a problem over here, for sure, is in a case where the Tahar person is the one that is pulling the Tameh person up. Then we say, yes, I agree with that case, that the Zav is essentially hanging off of the additional weight of the Tahar person. But if the Zav is pulling the Tahar person, then the Tahar is not going to be Tameh Midras, because it's really the Tahar who is Nitla on the Zav and not the other way around, which is true. But remember, the Machlokas over here is the same Machlokas we had before. The Tanakhama says, look, we make Gezerah to keep things easy. And since we can't measure the forces exactly, we just treat them always as if there's a Hitnagdut of forces, and therefore both are Nitla from the other. Rabbi Yehuda again says it's not true, unless you know for a fact that it was Matami in that way. Let's take another case where it's even less evident. Let's say that they're twisting ropes. So they're Mafshilin v'chavalim. So remember that in the good old days, and I think, at least 50 years ago, you could actually see this being done in Meir Sharim, because there was this beautiful chotzer where they would twist the cords for your tzitzit. And there they did it all by hand, because that was a chumrah, that everything should be done by hand. And that was like the old fashioned way of doing the original mafshilin b'chavalim. So in that case, you've got the people, you tie one end to a tree or whatever, and then the two people are pulling in opposite directions so that they keep things taut while they change positions, go over and under the other, right? So in that case, it's also because it's so probable that the one person was actually pulling against the other one and was relying on his weight to hold him up. And that would mean that there was certainly a moment in which he was hanging off of the midras. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, it's Tahar unless, Achye ze Moshe Chelech, ze Moshe Chelech. Look, they've got to be Davka pulling against each other so that they're standing. If one guy is, the rope isn't tied down, one guy is holding the rope in one direction and twisting, and the other guy is holding the rope in the other direction, there for sure there was a real balance of tugging. I mean, this is tugging. So then for sure, the Zov was hanging off of the clothes for a moment of the other person, because he would have fallen to the ground if the other guy let go, wouldn't he? So if he would fall to the ground when the other guy let go, then that means he's hanging on the weight of the other guy. The weight of the other guy included his begotten. How about another case? How about if you're doing weaving or gin? Now, there's different types of looms, right? There's standing looms, there's sitting looms, and there's also the type of loom in which you do a lot of the pulling the strings taut versus the other guy who's pulling in the cross direction. So if they're pulling, they're pushing or pulling, then again, we have to be choshesh that one was leaning for a moment on the other. Or what about if they were grinding grain together? This is heavy. It's a heavy millstone. So they're tochanim. So at some point, you know, one guy, the Zov, lets go a little bit, and he hangs off of the weight of the other person. Okay, so in any event, that would be exactly the same case. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says that always, betar bekulam, I see all of these cases as gezeras, which they are, and I don't hold of these gezeras. You have to know that there actually was a moment that there was real tuma that was being conveyed. The only case where for sure I believe that we need to usher is the case of the tochanim, where it's a rechayim shel yad. That is so hard to do. It is heavy as heck. And because of that, for sure, there's going to be a moment where somebody's pulling the other guy and the other one is relying on the other person. Okay, so how about if they're unloading a truck together? So they're porkin min hachamor, or they're loading a truck together. Now, if you're lifting, two people are lifting a heavy load, so then, again, one leans against the other because of the weight. And that means that if the other person would let go, you'd fall to the ground because you're pushing in the other direction as you're holding on. So there, if it's kaved, so then the Torah's clothes are tummy. Bisman shemasa amkal, if it's a lightweight, then it's not something that you lean into. And if you don't lean into it, there would be no basis for tumah at all. Now, all of these cases that we're talking about, if you're loading a load, even if it's heavy, and we're talking about making this gezeira that for sure it's tummy. What is a tummy for? What darga of tumor are we talking about? We're talking about eating something that is roi for being mekabel tuma midiraisa, and that means not a case where it's the bnei hakneset. The bnei hakneset means the choshev people that are, they're makbid generally on Tyrus, and they will eat chulin betaira. So for them, they are not really going to have to worry about this being tumas midras. It's only a chumrah where we're talking about actual Tyrus, then we're going to be machmer. But if you're talking about chulin, we did not make this chumrah, and it's only tmeim for actual truma or above. So then it's one of the chumras, it's one of the milas that we make Lagabe truma. You know, people, when people learn in Yonim of Tyrus, outside of the Seder of Tyrus, they think about the Masechta that they're learning in very much the wrong way, because they think that Nidais is about Nidais, or Zovim is about Zovim. And it's not really. So when the Mishnah opens up, the opening Mishnah in Nidas, you know, and it starts talking about Tayashaita, or whether a woman has to be Chayish, that she was Tameya, they think, oh, we're not talking about Tameh to her husband? That's weird. Why would we be talking about Tameh for Tyrus? Because they don't realize that the Mishnah is about Tyrus. It's not about men and women. That's the point. And the same thing is true over here. We take for granted, like we're talking about dinim of Zovim, but in reality, this is a din in Tyrus completely, and has to be seen within the context of which type of tumais are applicable to what type of individuals that are makbid on that tyra. It's, I think, probably enough for one day.
Mishnah Gimel.
Okay. It's already 20 minutes of Zovim, but if you're ready to go ahead, I'm certainly happy.
We're in flow.
We're in. Oh, gosh. All right. It's still in flux here, so we'll continue. All right, so we've had now all types of cases where the nitla was assumed because of the fact that things are wobbly. Now, what about if it's not wobbly? I mean, we were talking about a rowboat, or we were talking about a loose door. This Mishnah talks about similar cases, but where you don't have to be chashish that it's wobbly. So suppose you have a zav and a tohar that are yoshvu b'svina gdola. You know, so they're sitting in the dining room of the Princess Cruise ship. Believe me, that ship ain't moving because some guy gets up and moves his chair. Right? So because of that, you do not have to be chashish for the seesaw effect. And when we're talking about a svina gdola, we define it as Rabbi Yehuda does. Kol she'ina yechola lahamit ba'adam. It is so large and its weight is so great that you do not notice the effect of the weight of an individual who steps on it. So that's what is defined. That's what we mean, because that's the effect that we're looking for. Same thing would be true. Let's say we have a board or a bench. These were all things that we were talking about in the previous Mishnah, two Mishnahs ago, or a gashish shalamita, or a nachluna, a pole, or in these cases where they're not loose, but they're cemented down, or they're solid. Bismancha inan margirin, when they're not like a chiger, they're not like a guy on one foot. Interesting use of the word, right? So they're not loose. They're not rocky.
And the chagura is the belt that tightens.
Correct, yeah. And it's also, I mean, well, even I think in English, we would use the same, we use the word footing. If it's on solid footing, right? So that would also be, and if it's unstable footing, it would be in chiger. Or let's say, another case that is not the same as the case in the first Mishnah, they climb up a tree, but this is a strong, heavy tree that does not move when a person gets on it. It's kocho ziofe. Or they were on a branch. That was the other example in the first Mishnah. They're on a branch that doesn't bend, and it's kocho ziofe. Or maybe they climbed not a sulam mitzri, but they climbed a sulam tsuri. Sulam tsuri is very heavy and solid. Or even a mitzri, if you nailed the mitzri ladder to a wall, it's not going to move. So o mitzri bizman shukavua b'masmer, or what we talked about, the ramp or the board or even a door that we cemented down to be the cover of something, that's going to move. So that is not going to be anything like the seesaw effect. And therefore, even if they were both on the same side, afilu mitzad echad, it would still, they're not considered to be moving one with the other, and they're tahorim because there's no wobble and there's no sag that the person causes for the other. Now, how about if you're talking about a boxing match? So, in a boxing match, the tar person slams into the zav. So, over there, the halacha is that his clothes are tar, because even though he was leaning on the zav, the Zav hadn't leaned on him, because, look, if you take the Zav out of the way and he slams into the Zav, he goes flying and slams on the floor. So basically, he is supporting his weight on the Zav. But the other way around, if the Zav slams in with a punch, so then if he would move out of the way, the Zav would fall on the floor, which means that the Zav is essentially supporting his weight on the couch, in this case, the couch being this other guy's clothing. And therefore, if the Tameh is punching the Tahar, then he's Tameh. Because im yamashecha Tahar, if he manages to avoid the punch, get out of the way, then the Tameh is going to fall to the ground. And that shows that it's the Zav that's leaning on him. All right, excellent. I think Alon that PK would agree to this one, right? And this is what he does all the time. Okay, Kol Tov, everyone. Is that a hand for a handy or a happy goodbye from a handy?
No, I wanted to know if maybe a sulam suri is a ladder that's as strong as sulam ashel sur.
Ah, wow, isn't that cute? What does our archaeologist have to say about that?
I noticed that it resonated, but they don't have an opinion about it. It resonated.
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting. Okay, thanks for that one. Kol Tov, have wonderful days, everyone. I shall miss you till tomorrow. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll be lucky. Have wonderful days. Kol Tov, everyone.